everybody. Welcome to tonight's webinar. So tonight we are going to continue on with some of the cardiometabolic stuff, but first we're going to go over some of the questions that you guys submitted. One of the things I wanted to start with was just letting everybody know, as you submit the questions, please, please, please use the submission form online. If you submit them via email from this point forward, we're actually going to have you resubmit them through that submission form. It really helps us stay organized to make sure that we are answering everything that you guys need us to answer and that we are being very thorough for you. So you can find that on the MMC course overview page. If you go to, there's a section there, it'll say Q&A submissions. And it's under the program navigation section. So if you go to course overview page, program navigation, and then Q&A submission, that's where you will find that. And I think that'll help streamline things for us a little bit. So let's start here with a few questions. First of all, we have this question regarding LED light bulbs over CFL. So CFL being those compact fluorescent lights. Everything is a pro and con type of relationship. So there is a question around LED lights causing harm to the retina of the human eye. One of the problems with compact fluorescence is that there are some benefits over incandescent lights with the compact fluorescence, but compact fluorescence have a really, really high flash rate. And that can actually irritate a lot of sensitive people, and has even been shown to contribute to migraines in some people. So we need to consider that. Also, with a compact fluorescence, they have the mercury in them. So with that, we have to be really careful about them breaking, of course, and people are dealing with mercury, which could be potentially toxic. And the third problem with the compact fluorescence is that there is a sustainability issue. So LEDs are much more sustainable. They're much better for the environment. So that's, you know, something to consider too, is that sustainability issue. So, you know, we need to really consider all sides of every argument. Certainly we can find research on just about everything out there on the positives and negatives about it, which really means that we need to consider our patients. If we are really worried about retinal harm, perhaps we were, if somebody, say, has a history of a problem with vision, perhaps that might be a reason to consider not using the LEDs. But if somebody has migraines, if somebody has a lot of irritability where that constant flashing could be a problem, we might go more towards the LED light. So great question there. Okay, so then another question here we have is it NASH? So we have non-alcoholic steatohepatitis. And the question is it NASH basically caused by sugar? So in the cardiometabolic section, we mentioned dysglycemia and metabolic issues. So the question is it basically implying sugar as the cause? Well, we need to take a step back and say it's not necessarily sugar. The reason why we say dysglycemia and not necessarily sugar is because somebody could be eating a perfectly fine amount of sugar in their diet, but they could have a blood sugar issue. Perhaps they have type 1 diabetes and their pancreas isn't working correctly, and all of a sudden we have this buildup of sugar in their cells, or I'm sorry, in the blood, and that sugar will affect the liver and lead to that non-alcoholic steatohepatitis. So yeah, sugar is involved in it, but we want to be very careful when we're talking about NASH, about saying to somebody that if we just avoid sugar, then we're going to say avoid NASH. We're going to avoid any problems with that, because it could really be some of these other problems. It could really be a dysglycemia caused by another reason. Perhaps it's diabetes, perhaps it's a cortisol issue, perhaps there's other things causing a metabolism issue. So any of that could really cause a problem here. So we want to make sure that we're not oversimplifying it and saying just sugar, although we absolutely want to be talking to our patients with NASH about their sugar intake, and we may want to get sugar out of their diet if they are over consuming sugar, that's definitely a great idea. We just want to make sure that we're not oversimplifying it here. So another question here is, in the case of low cholesterol, so we're saying low total cholesterol, less than 150 or 160, why isn't the liver making more cholesterol? And the question, is it due to liver damage or inadequate CoQ10 or iron needed, which is needed for that cholesterol synthesis or for the ATP production? So these are all great thoughts. So remember, with anything that's functional medicine, we don't always know why. So we don't always know why the liver is not, say, stepping in and doing that. But that's one of our jobs, right, is to take a step back and say, okay, well, why is the liver not picking up this slack? And we need to consider, is it truly low cholesterol because the liver is not making enough and the liver isn't doing its job? Or is it that we just have HMG-CoA reductase, that rate-limiting enzyme, is working as fast as it can, and cholesterol is being used up all over the body, keeping that cholesterol level low? So we should consider both kind of the prequel and the sequelae of that low cholesterol. So we do want to consider some of the things we're mentioning here, where we want to consider, is there a liver damage? Because certainly if there's liver damage, those cells are not going to be able to keep up with that production as well. And we absolutely want to consider the CoQ10 and iron, because we learned that that makes that ATP, and then the ATP is needed for cholesterol synthesis. Remember also that pantothenic acid